I'm recording.
Okay. I am recording.
No, I am recording.
Oh, I am Spartacus.
Yeah. Thank you. Well done. Cheers to that.
Start the show. Start the show. God damn it.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you get to see the most anticipated premiere of the last decade. One night in Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, eh?
Fun town.
Drink it in, man. Did you really think that I would expose myself in the toxic dump that is Milwaukee?
Knock on wood,
baby! You just made the list!
Who wants to walk with Elias?
Welcome to the Sammy and Kevin Show!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney. I am your commissioner and the commissioner.
The United States.
Of them Americas. And I am joined, as always, by my main man, the myth, the legend. It tis him, it doth be, DPP.
Yes, indeed. Your inebriator in the era of awesome PC Tunney. Welcome back to another edition of the DWI podcast. What is this, 191?
Give yourself the bell.
This is crazy. It's getting crazier by the episode.
Crazier by the week. Speaking of crazy, right. Listen to this. Before we get going here, a little plug-a-doodle-doo, if you will. Well, first, right. let's just do it. Let's just start it like this.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
So as I am back in full effect with the boys doing Pod is War again, like it was meant to be, just like when John Cena becomes WWE champion again, we can say the world is right again. As your brother would like to say when Stone Cold or The Rock became champion back in the day. Everything in the world is right again. I don't know if we were using again back then, but do you remember him saying that?
Oh, yeah, every time. He'd ask if that were, who's the champion. Oh, yeah, good. Everything's back to normal. Yeah, the world is right again was his line.
Shout out to Brother Joe. As we had Aesop sub for Andrew Blaz on Pod is War 2 weeks ago, next week, subbing for Christopher Platt will be Max Holiday. So how about that, folks? Make sure you check into a special edition of Pod is War. We're going to talk to Max and get his opinion on the five biggest sports and wrestling topics next week. And we'll give you a little bit of what's going on with him, and we'll save a little bit for the DWI podcast that following week. So you're going to have to check both shows out to get your full plate of Max Holiday.
So it's the Bearded Bruiser versus the Bearded Blaz. It's going to be quite the battle.
There you go. And then,
Bearded battle.
Well, we got the Bearded Bruiser against the Beer City Bruiser at BCW Wrestling next Saturday. Not this coming Saturday. The Saturday before Elimination Chamber. So quite the wrestling weekend right here in Milwaukee for us. Brian Malonis also received the Ring of Honor contract, DPP. So,
shout out.
Congratulations to him, friend of the show, partner of the Beer City Bruiser. We're efforting the Bruiser, hopefully before his match against Holiday as well. We'll see what happens there. If not, best of luck. And I know he was just down in Florida with his family, so maybe when he gets back. I've seen that on Twitter. Follow him at Twitter at BCB Winchester, and make sure you check Max Holiday out at, I believe it's...
Holiday Special.
Yeah, DP, way to go.
Yeah, that's me, not on Twitter. I know all the Twitter handles.
He's got a laminated list right next to him.
Gotta know my people.
So, DP, we were in the Thunderdome for the Super Bowl, and if you follow us, well, if you follow me on Twitter, you saw a nice little Periscope video of the Thunderdome and the attendees, in addition to the video games we were playing, and the great food that we had as well. So, DP, fun night all in all.
Fun night indeed. I describe it as don't stop believing. Yeah. You know, as we got a nice game of Journey. That's right. Yes. Journey has a fucking video game. People, look it up. And we beat it. God damn it.
I think that was pretty close to my quote on the Periscope thing. Journey's got a fucking video game, motherfuckers.
Yeah. Who would have thought? But of course, Satchel McFlippins thought, and he found it.
We should have interviewed Satchel McFlippins for a brief minute or two. I think that would have been entertaining, but I didn't. I wanted to get everybody to check out all the action figures. Apparently, we're going to have to do that with the lights on next time because it was rather dark. People kind of got a gist of it, but they don't get as good of pictures as you see right behind you right now. So we'll get that to you next time.
We'll have to do that next time. Especially do a video cast or something.
We can take our time.
Talk a little story. Give a little background on the collection of wrestling figures and
Pops, belts.
Belts rings. And everything else that's back there. Rings.
Shot glasses. Yeah. Vuvuzela. Zuzuvela. I can't. I'm so not sure which one it is.
The collection of Nintendo consoles and Sega consoles that I have over there, PlayStation, all those good stuff.
It's amazing. It's very nice. It's very nice. So let's get into it, though, DP. We got some wrestling to talk. Next week, we're going to run down the Elimination Chamber. Oh, man, I'm going to be back doing the staff picks. That was a quick turnaround.
Yeah, 2 weeks, bitch.
That's okay. I don't mind. I like it. I can actually, crap, I'm going to have to do it on Friday night again because we're going to go to BCW on Saturday night.
That's right.
I got to work, so.
It's a busy weekend.
Biscuits and gravy. Biscuits and gravy. Biscuits and gravy! Remind everybody who that was. That was Larry Zbyszko's kid and Luke Gallows, right?
That was, Jesse and Festus.
Okay. Chimichangas, senoritas, bonitas. All right, DPP, let's let everybody know what's happening this week on the DWI podcast.
Well, we're waiting.
Cheat.
Oh, three note cheat there.
It's a three note sheet. That's
wow.
Right. Went down the bar, if you know what I mean.
I think we got a title. Pardon me, folks, while I write this down, because we tend to forget things around here.
Here you go. While you're writing that down, here's some music for you.
Biscuits and gravy.
Oh, well done. Love this guy. Maybe on the fly.
There you go. Fun fact, I used to use that as a ringtone.
Yeah, well done. Well done. It's just strange. Like, anyway. All right, let's run it down. We got some notes from Raw. Becky suspended. And lots of interaction with the McMahons, especially the married ones. Elias and Double J in a match. Kurt Angle in a match on Raw. First time, two Hall of Famers in a match on Raw. In addition, Jeff Jarrett sets the record. I'm getting this out now so I don't forget. Jeff Jarrett sets the record for longest time between a match on Raw. 19 years now, before it was Zeb Coulter at 16 years and change.
Wow.
EC3 in-ring debut. We'll mention Moment of Bliss. How couldn't you think of Bliss? And let's talk about what's happening with Kurt Angle moving towards WrestleMania. SmackDown side, I got a little surprise opinion for DPP. I want to see how he reacts. We're going to talk about Triple H's promo on Becky. We're going to get to the Orton-Ali match. Whew. Daniel Bryan, Bizarro World. Bizarro World is back, folks, in full effect. We're going to touch on The Undertaker and a last call that could be too sweet and all elite. DPP, ring the bell. How'd you enjoy the open of Raw?
Becky, this is like four episodes in a row, Raw to SmackDown, that she has opened the show, I think, pretty much. Been the opening segment.
Did she open
last week?
The Raw?
She opened last
before.
Raw.
Did she open the Raw before and SmackDown?
After, she opened
the
Raw
both this week.
I think so. Maybe I'm wrong, but either way.
It's tough when you've been watching the entire time because everything kind of just blends together a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. It's a lot of Becky. But you know what? I like the segment. I thought it was great. You know, they're... I guess it's a way of keeping them on TV, playing this injury angle. I don't know how bad the knee is. I mean, I got to imagine there's an injury there somewhat because the whole suspension thing is obviously a way to give her some heat, you know, to come back. Obviously, she's going to be kind of a baby face, I guess, you know, if they're doing this. And but get her off TV, maybe, you know, for at least a couple weeks to help her heal. You know, so I dig it. I like the fact that, you know, Stephanie was being sympathetic. She wasn't trying to play the bad guy character that she normally plays. She was trying to just be a straight, you know, I guess, management person, not necessarily good or bad. She was really doing well with that, I think. And it helps, I think, helped, you know, where she doesn't really being the heel, but yet Becky was getting over sympathetically with the crowd. It's very interesting how they're doing this because, I mean, Ronda is the baby face, right? Was the baby face. And Becky is just becoming more of this, you know, likable heel. You know, I mean, everybody always references and compares it to Stone Cold. It's kind of the same style where she's like, she should be booed with the way her attitude is, but everybody loves what's going on with her.
So you'd bring up the Stone Cold thing. So like Stone Cold, CM Punk, et cetera, you know, the man being held down, going up against the corporation. That they're doing the storyline again, only for the first time they're doing it with the woman, right? So,
right.
I don't know, though. I mean, there's a lot of differences. There are some similarities. I think Austin would be the one most forthright. But I don't get the same vibe. I'm really enjoying it. I'd love to see where it goes. At any point, do we see Becky and Stephanie McMahon at some point? Maybe WrestleMania next year, 2020.
Yeah, maybe they plant the seeds, you know, this year with, you know, maybe Stephanie is somewhere somewhat involved in the outcome of this match that's going to happen at WrestleMania too. You know, it could be that kind of thing. You know, you know the McMahons like to be on in the corners or involved in matches.
Well, because here's the thing about Steve Austin, et cetera. Well, especially Steve Austin, he didn't hold the title more than he did. He had short title reigns. Like, they're better chasing. Like, they're better defying to get to the pinnacle. That's where they get all the support from the crowd.
Right. And, you know, it's the McMahons, you know, when that storyline with Stone Cold, it was always, you know, Vince was doing whatever it took to keep him away from the title. So it was that, yeah, it was that build of him trying to get there and finally overcoming the authority and winning that belt. And then only to see it get taken away from him again by some shenanigans that the McMahons come up with, you know, or Dude Love comes out of nowhere, you know, or something like that. So, yeah, I think that being in that role where, you know, she's got to overcome the adversity is a good spot. And I know adversity is not just an old wooden ship, but, oh no, that was diversity. That was close. Never mind.
You tried. That's all that matters.
Try my best. So
last thing here, Ronda Rousey, you brought it up briefly, cheered, booed, etc. To me, it almost seems like she's becoming like a Cena. You know, the kids love her, the MMA fans love her, but the hardcore wrestling fans will turn on her in a dime if she's going up against someone that they really like. But more importantly, I want your thoughts on Paul Heyman writing all of her stuff and being her producer in the back.
Brilliant. I mean, good Lord. You know, you listen to, I mean, I know, you know, she had a rough time at the beginning, you know, doing her first, you know, promo, the first half of her promo last week. But, you know, the intensity that she delivers these promos, you know, that she did last week after the fact when she was face to face with Becky, you know, the backstage little segment she did there, you know, this week, it just comes off so awesome because he knows how to write that shit. He, you know, he does it every week for Brock, you know, where he just can talk and he knows how to talk and he knows how to get that reaction out of people, and she is doing a great job with that. And what better? Yeah, who better to write for her?
Who better than Heyman? Shout out to Canyon. Let's transition to the next topic with the song. DP, Double J, back in the ring, back in a match, taking on Elias. It makes sense, but is this just more of the young, up-and-coming talent needing these old, basically retired veterans to get them over? I mean, do we still have to get a rub from one of the most charismatic people ever to get someone over? Were we too bored with Elias's face run? Now he's a heel? I don't quite understand it. Like, I get it, it's nice, but why?
That's J-E-double-F, J-A-double-R-E-double-T. I didn't get it at all. I liked...
I'm not saying I didn't enjoy it. I enjoyed it. I thought I enjoyed the match. And someone on Twitter actually had a great statement that Jeff Jarrett's punches put... like 90% of the locker room to shame. That guy can throw a freaking punch, but he's doing it forever, you know? So yeah, Chris Platt will tell you he's the GOAT, which, oh my goodness, whatever. I'm not even going to go down
what?
That road. But yeah, you can argue with him about that sometime. But
oh boy.
Here's the deal. You know, I just don't get it. I enjoyed it, but I think it's not really helping.
Well, I think they had a great idea for the Royal Rumble. I thought, you know, Elias's character was, you know, obviously very similar to what Double J used to do back in the day with the whole guitar and everything. You know, I figured the Honky Tonk Man was going to be next after that. You know, why not?
Because we're going to get Double J versus Elias at Elimination Chamber now. You know that, right?
We are?
We got to.
Really? Really?
Okay, wait till Raw next week and see what happens. That's a calm call. Here, I'm making a... Here's Tunny's take again. It's my opinion, man. This is not an official part of that segment, but I don't care if you... Here, this Tunny prediction is brought to you by Edge and Christian.
Soda's rule.
Yeah, they do.
I stopped drinking soda like a year and a half ago, though, folks. Don't drink that shit. but watch the Edge and Christian show. It is phenomenal in its second season. It is one of my favorite shows on... any network or broadcasting system to watch. I think they're just hitting a home run in their second season. So take the time to go and watch the Edge and Christian show. You'll see a lot of superstars that you may have missed. In addition, a new character was introduced, Paul Smackage, whose finisher is the small package. So make sure you check that out.
If you're a listener of the Edge and Christian podcast as well, you will know all about Paul Smackage. And his outbursts and promos that he cuts regularly that are quite rambling and make no sense. He is from Grapevine, Texas, as well. So there you go. Grapevine, Texas, Paul Smackage.
All right, DP, what the hell was I talking about?
We were talking about Jeff Jarrett and the ridiculousness that's going on between him and Elias.
I was making a prediction. Official prediction. Yes. Yeah, brought to you by Edge and Christian. That's right. Those things happen. It's Wednesday. We're recording. The show will be out on Friday. We don't play kayfabe with the time like we do on Pod is War. Oh, I'm sorry. That's yeah, never mind.
Blasphemy.
I'm off tomorrow and I'm drinking. Official prediction. Elias and Jeff Jarrett will have a match at Elimination Chamber. If it's on the, it's not going to be on the pre-show. They won't put Jeff Jarrett on the pre-show. They will open the show at Elimination Chamber. There you go. There's your Tony prediction. Ring the bell.
Yes. Road Dogg will get inserted into that match too.
Why not?
Yeah,
he'll be out there.
Get a handicap match or something.
He's a roadie. Yeah, they're handicapped. That's for sure. They're close to it.
Look at them. Look at that belly. I mean, I digged the Royal Rumble bit. I thought it was great. you know, and then I think the reaction that they got from that had them keep it going for an extra week or two. So, okay, fine. I don't think Elias needs it to get over. He's obviously already over. I don't understand why they're... I think he started to roll with the babyface turn because everybody started cheering for him because the gimmick started getting over and everybody started to sing along with it and he started becoming babyface and everybody went, well, with all this, you know, fresh and new and we want to change things up, you know what? He was better as a heel. Let's just have him start turning back on the crowd again and whatever. I don't care if I think he's better off as a heel anyway, but whatever, you know. I don't think he needs Jeff Jarrett to get over. I just don't think they have anything for him.
I suppose it's making people watch, bottom line. Let's move on to the next topic, DP. EC3's in-ring debut comes from a moment of bliss, and he goes over Dean Ambrose. So once again, we're talking about Dean Ambrose, and they're still using him. He told Nia Jax not to ever touch him or talk to him or look at him ever again or something like that, right?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that whole segment leading up to the match?
Am I the only one that thinks it's really just awkward, this whole thing? It's awkward.
What's the weird. Dean Ambrose thing?
Yeah. Dean Ambrose, Nia Jax thing just seems like it doesn't fit. I don't know. I mean, it's...
Are they leading towards walking out the door being beaten by Nia Jax at WrestleMania?
Right. I'll put my career on the line if you think it could beat me. Nah, I don't know. I don't think so. Yeah,
I might have just led you to water and you drank from it.
I always drink the water. Oh, you know me.
It's a miracle you're alive.
Can lead a horse to water, but try and shove him in. It's impossible.
Yeah.
I'm trying to move a
boxer when he doesn't want to move. The dog.
I'll fight him. Whoa. I'll fight him.
Nah, just keep going. I don't want to edit that. It's in there somewhere.
The segment's just way too awkward. There it is.
This fucking sound bank keeps getting bigger and bigger, man.
It gets complicated, doesn't it? The whole EC3 thing fitting in there was just kind of oddball too. I mean, I thought he would come in with more, you know, pomp and circumstance, and it, you know, the way he came out for that and won the match like a fluke, it's like he's not, it makes him seem smaller than he is, I guess, if you understand what I'm trying to say there.
So even if WWE is playing the whole card, like let's say this isn't real, they're still making it like it's not real. So let's say it is real, and they're trying to make it like it's not real. I mean, what are they? It's such a confusing storyline. If it is a storyline, I hope he leaves, to be honest with you. But in all honesty, from the redundancy department of redundancy, his mic work has been better the last 2 weeks. He's been more interesting. He's been boring as fuck for like 2 years.
Well, you know, kind of the same way CM Punk went out, didn't he? He started like...
I always enjoyed CM Punk.
Talk shit on the mic, and next thing you know, he's gone. I don't think this is... I think we talked about this last week, too. You know, yeah. It's the same thing. All of a sudden, the revival...
We're going to talk about this every week until either he's back after his contract expires or he's gone, right? It's just a ticking clock that's something easy to talk about and should be talked about, to throw on top of that. Is he staying or is he going? Is it a work or isn't it a work? Either way, it's fucking brilliant for one side or the other. Dean Ambrose wins all around here.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it gets people talking about him. He's in the news. He's going to get more. He's getting more airtime, you know, on the show. And it's going to make it interesting to see what he does. He's going to get a prominent spot. And if he leaves, he's going to be a big name if he goes to All Elite, you know.
So, I'd love to see him go to All Elite for 2 years and then come 2 or 3 years, then come back to WWE, beat Hunter at a WrestleMania or something.
Why not help build that brand? I mean, it's going to be great.
Who knows? We'll see what happens there. Last Raw topic. Kurt Angle ends up teaming with Braun Strowman against Drew McIntyre and Baron Corbin. What I want to get to from here is, what's Kurt Angle's road to WrestleMania, and how do you see him being involved there? Is he in a match?
Jeez, it's just, it's kind of weird. I mean, this, it seems like this tag match is going to be at Elimination Chamber. Yeah, no? Is that going to happen? You know? What else do they got for him right now? I kind of feel like that's going to be our Elimination Chamber match. But, you know, I don't know where you go with Kurt Angle. Because at this point, he's in the feud with Baron Corbin and Drew McIntyre. I can't imagine Drew McIntyre's match at WrestleMania is going to be with Kurt Angle. I don't know. You know, Braun Strowman seems like an obvious opponent, but, you know, is Braun Strowman going to be involved with... I can't imagine him being involved with Lesnar now that Seth Rollins is number one contender. So I see Baron Corbin, or sorry, Brock Lesnar... Jesus, I'm just all over the place with names. Drew McIntyre and Braun Strowman having a one-on-one match. So that leaves Kurt Angle out of it somewhere. You know, unless he's going to... I can't see him bringing back him for a general manager position because obviously they want to do something different. So, man, obviously it's going to be some kind of farewell match. I would love to see... Oh boy, I don't even know. I'd love to see him have some kind of farewell match. But I can't imagine against who, unless it's like John Cena or something.
Yeah, I mean, if Kurt Angle is going to retire, I would absolutely love to see him face John Cena. John Cena's got nothing going on. It only makes sense, especially since The Undertaker, you know, we're going to get to that, could possibly be going into the Hall of Fame and retiring and not wrestling. Then at least you have Kurt Angle as this big, you know, name that's already in the Hall of Fame, wrestling John Cena. But at the same time, there's also those rumors out there. Let's end the topic with this, since you brought it up, that John Cena could maybe be chasing number 17. John Cena versus John Cena goes over Daniel Bryan.
Brothers-in-law of some sorts, I guess.
Huge. I love it. Boom. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. This Tony prediction brought to you by Edge and Christian.
Soda's rule.
Yeah, they do.
I stopped drinking soda like a year and a half ago, so don't drink that shit anymore. Anyway, the prediction I got here, I remember what I'm talking about. Thank you, Edge and Christian. Make sure you go to WWE Network, watch the Edge and Christian show. I love it. I think this is deja vu. But anyway, the
prediction.
Paul Smackage. There we go. Grapevine, Texas. Learned that today. I'm calling it. Daniel Bryan versus John Cena for the WWE title and the return of Daisy as John Cena beats Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. Ring the bell, DP. I love it. Golly, my brain is phenomenal. Let's ring the bell for my brain. That was really... Fuck you, that was such a reluctant goddamn bell ring.
I don't know about that, dude.
I'm going to go get my own fucking bell.
I don't know about that, dude.
Nah, you're right, I won't. It's a true story. All right, DP, before we get to SmackDown, let's go ahead and take a pause for the cause.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out TheChairShot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
You ready to talk about some SmackDown, DP? Are we done with the live? Is it just SmackDown now? I mean, they don't think the announcers really say SmackDown Live anymore. It might be on the graphics, but are we good with just SmackDown now? Can I not say live anymore?
God, I don't even wish that would have started from the beginning.
And I don't say Monday Night Raw either. I know it's on fucking Monday night. It's Raw. There's Raw and SmackDown. I know what nights they're on, and they're live. I also know what channels they're on. Tuesday night SmackDown Live? Yep.
Whoa. Yeah, brother.
No.
Hate it.
Let's move on. Hey,
Hate it.
I don't know about that, dude.
Delete.
Don't. Yeah. I'm armed.
Whoop.
Let's get into our first SmackDown topic, DP. And let before I throw you the curveball, it's probably more like just a cutter. It'll be a nice, interesting storyline. I think you'll enjoy where I think this is headed. But talk to me specifically about Triple H's promo and what you thought of. But you caught that, right? I know you've had a long work schedule. You didn't quite get to all of SmackDown, but you saw the Triple H promo?
Indeed.
Okay. Give me your thoughts on that promo and the slap heard around the world.
Oh, it's another push to just get Becky over again, making her believe, you know, trying to get the idea out there that do we believe that Becky is quote unquote the man, you know, is it a thing that she really believes, or is it just, you know, her trying to, you know, talk herself up kind of thing, or, you know, and who better to deliver it than Triple H, a guy who can easily get that fire out of the fire Becky Lynch. It's, you know, she's just, you know, I think what they're doing is great with this, because they're trying to push this whole, you know, are you really injured thing, but yet getting Becky over as this kind of sympathetic character where she's, you know, do you really believe who you are kind of thing, or are you just trying to hide the fact that you don't believe you're as good as you think you are? And it's a great way, I think, to help elevate that character even more. And like you said, where it's, you know, is it Becky Lynch against the authority kind of thing again, and gives her something more to fight for than just being, I'm this badass, you know, and I can beat whoever. It's now she has a reason to elevate to that next level.
I like that. You ready for the knuckle curve, the slight change,
the slider,
if you will. So Hunter didn't just interact with Becky in the ring to open SmackDown. Charlotte actually opened the show. Looking phenomenal, BTW. Especially from the back. No offense intended. I mean, when people look good, they look good. And women, don't lie. You're judgmental as we are with, you know, checking people out. You do it too. You women are worse than us. I love you for it, though. Don't worry about it. Tony's here for you.
Oh, boy.
You know that saying, I'm a lover, not a fighter?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm a lover and I'm a lover and a fighter, so bring it on.
I'll fight him.
No.
And that guy can't find a girlfriend. I'll never figure it out.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah.
So, Triple H confronts Becky, DP. And Triple H gets slapped, right? Triple H abruptly, without courtesy or courtesy, tell Charlotte to get out of the ring. Charlotte obliges. Are we on the precipice of corporate Charlotte? Because that's what I think is going to happen. And what a great way to continue telling the story of Charlotte versus Becky. Charlotte being corporate Charlotte versus the man. Because, you know, we got to fill time on Raw. We got to have more superstars over there if Ronda Rousey's leaving after WrestleMania. And here's how you fill the women's division on Raw.
Here's why I don't like that.
Oh, crap.
Is because... Here we go.
Ooh, here we go.
No, and the reason I say, oh, crap, is because every time this happens, you know, we agree on so much stuff that it generally, not always, but generally... DP points the big hole in my argument, and I'm like, yeah, you're right, never mind. So let's find out whether or not we're going to go toe-to-toe on this storyline, or I'm going to be like, yeah, you're right, never mind.
I don't think you're going to be that way, but we'll see. Just because, again, like you said, this is the first time I'm hearing it, so this is my initial reaction, is
Hold on. Let's go live on the scene to the Thunderdome, DPP, and his initial reaction.
Have we not done the corporate Triple H and Stephanie McMahon bit already? Just recently, less than 5 years, and we're talking about we're going to give you new storylines and new, you know, opponents and new matches and new characters, and we're going to do the corporate bit again. Yeah, I don't think they're going to do it. I just can't see them doing that right away, especially after we just got done with them talking about doing new things.
But we both said that, yeah, we both mocked it, though. We both said, oh, here's your new thing. We're on television.
Of course. No.
So why don't they think this is the new thing? We just bring back an old thing. It's like fashion.
Are you talking about Jeff Jarrett bringing back
an old thing? Yeah, see? I mean, for crying out loud.
I think, yeah, I know. Maybe we'll get Charlotte versus Stephanie or something. I don't think we're going to see Charlotte. Charlotte just walked out. You know, she didn't, like, oblige. She didn't, help Triple H or any way or anything. He just, you know, told her to get the fuck out.
He gave her an instruction, and she followed it.
Yeah. I mean, if that was the case, see Charlotte.
Without a look, even.
I'd see Charlotte beating down Becky Lynch and taking out her knee even worse or something like that to help cement her going away and being suspended. Well, to further that.
We all know Vince is listening, so.
Yeah, so don't do that. Don't do that, Vince.
To me. We all know Vince is listening to me. So.
Hang on a second. It's my time.
All right. This press conference is over.
Go away.
Over, Phil. Over.
Let's move on to the next topic. Perfect bit to end the segment there, DPP. I think that's a really interesting storyline going forward, though. And I think a little food for thought. Get creative with what you think is going to happen, folks. Sometimes you never know. You'll be right. Make it interesting
Charlotte
for
needs
you.
Something.
Create storylines in your head that you'd love to see happen, and it'll give you something to root for. It'll make it more interesting for you. Trust me. Make predictions for the pay-per-views. It'll make your root stronger for the match result. I'll tell you that. Just a little DWI podcast public service announcement, okay, folks? Just for all the DWI universe.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Damn it, DP. I'm like a public servant to the wrestling community. It's rough work, but somebody's got to do it. Let's talk about Randy Orton. Try not to throw up over there. Let's talk about Randy Orton versus Mustafa Ali. I know you didn't have a chance to watch it, and I already told you, you know, when you go back and finish SmackDown, I know you will. You know, all of us who cover this and even just watch it, we don't always watch everything. We fast forward, record, and fast forward, etc. But I told DP, I said, make the time. Watch it when you have time to watch it, because I thought Randy Orton versus Mustafa Ali was a really good match. I thought Randy enjoyed himself out there with Mustafa Ali, and Mustafa Ali, after an early slight slip on a certain moveset, was so comfortable with Randy, and who isn't, DP? I mean, their skill sets match up for a phenomenal match, and they had it.
Oh, yeah, Randy Orton's so technically sound, you know, he can be a great opponent for anybody when he wants to be, and from what you tell me of this match, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to it.
There's a commercial
break,
Mustafa,
there's a commercial break in between, yeah. Obviously, it was a wrestling match on television, of course it was a commercial break.
Yeah, but of all times to not do, like, the picture-in-picture with the match with the commercial sound. Yeah, they didn't do it.
I'm like, that would be the one to do it.
I'm like, I don't care what they're saying. I just want to watch the match right now. It's really good psychology. There's really good, you know, flow, back and forth, up, down, slow it down, speed it up. And we cut the commercial. And I'm like, God damn it. This is the one you guys could have left on. So anyway, sorry to interrupt.
That's too bad.
Finish your thought, please.
That's too bad. Yeah, and Mustafa Ali has just been an impressive match after match since he's been called up to SmackDown. And, you know, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it, you know, just for that, you know, because you're obviously praising it, and Mustafa Ali has been really great, and Randy Orton's always great. So it's awesome to see him wrestling the different characters on SmackDown to see how he matches up with everybody, because, you know, he's been up now with Randy Orton, he's been Daniel Bryan, you know, different styles and everything, and he's been doing really well with him. So, you know, I'm interested to see what they do with him. I mean, I don't even know how to book this guy at this point. So, you know, where do you go with a guy like Mustafa Ali when it comes to, you know, the mid-card, you know, level, well, or wherever you're going to go with him?
You can put him into that, you know, IC title or US title, whichever brand he ends up staying on, card, and see how popular and he gets from there. Because now, you know, with the right people involved inside the ring, he's going to have a really good match.
Yeah, I'd definitely be interested to see him at the U.S. title or something and have a good run with that.
You know, could it be 2-3 years down the line, he can develop such character that he could be a contender for a world title? I mean, right now that seems a ways down the road. But, I mean, if you guys read up on his real-life story, this dude is for real. He's a legit dude that's a contributing member to society, and he's worked his butt off to get where he has. And I think if he got a little more, it's hard for me to say, but he needs to connect a little bit more with his promos. He needs just to relax a little bit. I mean, he's almost there, and I think that could take him over the top. I don't want a gimmick change from him at all. I just want him to be him. He's got a great story on his own. So I look for big things from him. It's interesting, though, that he never really got more of a really giant push down in NXT. It seemed like not NXT, 205 Live, and he comes up and has a great match with Daniel Bryan, and he's like, you know, on fire.
Yeah, I think that was a lot of the problem with the 205 Live, you know, where they had a few guys at the top that they promoted, and then they did that for months, and then they would move another guy up, and it was slow, you know, there wasn't a lot of other, you didn't see a lot of the other guys all the time. You know, it was always kind of these two or four guys that were being the ones that were being promoted or that you would see on a match on Raw. And that was it for a while. And now that you're starting to see some of these guys come out of the woodwork here, there's some great wrestlers that have just not had the opportunity to shine. And he's getting that opportunity and he's hitting it out of the park right now. So it's awesome. And yeah, he definitely doesn't need a change in character or anything like that. Definitely just needs to keep on working. Like you said, work those promos, get a little bit better there. I mean, and give these guys some time in the ring. Is you know, you look at these NXT matches, and a lot of reasons some of them are really great is because they get time in the ring to tell the story. Some of those matches on at the Royal Rumble were a little bit longer than normal, because and some of them I thought were a little bit better because they get that opportunity to tell their story in the ring. And you get guys like Mustafa Ali. I mean, think about some of these great matches. Him and Daniel Bryan had a great match. You throw Andrade Almas in there as well. I mean, AJ Styles in there. These guys can put on some kick-ass matches if they're given the time and the opportunity. And man, that could be some fun stuff, even if it's for the world title. I mean, on SmackDown? Fuck, there'd be some kick-ass matches right there.
Well said. Last thing I'll do here is, before we slide into our last SmackDown topic, no Aesop, not into your DMs. DP, why don't you take your earmuffs off there, because I'm going to do a little spoiler. What I'm going to do is I'm going to tell everybody what I thought was the spot that was a slight myth, and we'll see if when you watch it, you can, you know, figure out where I thought the slight myth was. So go ahead, and I don't want to ruin it for you. Why don't you take it off? Give me the old thumbs up when you can't hear anything. And it is official. DP can't hear anything. Now, I'm even covering my mouth here, so he can't even see what I'm saying. But I thought it was, you know, Randy went into the double stomps when he had Ali down. And the first one he did, Ali got up a little bit. He had to push him down, keep him there. So that was the spot I thought. It was when Ali was down. Randy did a few double stomps. Ali overreacted to the first one. It was a good reaction, but that was the slight myth. Otherwise, I thought the match was excellent, folks. Not real mess up, but I thought it was pretty good. Let's get DP back in here.
Oh, I see two thumbs up.
Yep, there you go. He's coming back.
And two thumbs up like the Fonz. You know, like, hey,
this guy. Last SmackDown topic, DP. And as of late, it's pretty much always just Ben. DP! I'm sorry, I got a little crazy there.
Yes. Yes, you did.
Give me... Maybe we'll edit that out.
Yes! Let's see what happens.
No! Fickle! Yes, no fickle. I love it. There's a soundbite for you. Yes! No! Fickle!
Fickle.
So I'm continuing. Yeah, maybe that could be the thick. Oh, we got another. We got another show title possibility. We'll see
what title potential.
Yes. No. Fickle. All right. As we write these things down as we get older, folks, you'll find out what I'm talking about if you don't already know already. What I've been talking about from the Department of Redundancy Department. DP, I'm continuing to enjoy this. I know you probably didn't see it, but Daniel Bryan, I would call him DB. Daniel Bryan is continuing to just dominate with this character. And we had Bizarro Land out there. It was great because he didn't want the people of Washington to boo him. You know, most crowds, he'll get in there and they might cheer a little bit. They're happy to see him. And then he'll turn on them if they do that. Although he's done a really good job of getting people to boo him right away. He wanted them. He worked with them. You're conscious to the planet like I am. I'm the people's, you know, the planet's champion. In addition, Rowan's out there and he's calling him his intellectual equal. Sorry, spoiler alert. But overall, what are your thoughts on Rowan being paired up with Daniel Bryan and Daniel Bryan's character overall as the planet's champion?
Well, it's definitely, you want to look for something different. That's definitely something different. I mean, no, I don't think anybody saw Rowan coming out and being part of this group or whatever they're doing.
Yes!
Here.
Yes!
I kind of wish Rowan would have, I don't know, I guess with the whole, fits the whole beard thing, but I wish he would have gotten a little bit of a different look or something, you know, shorten the beard or I don't know, something different.
Flannel on and some overalls.
For Rowan. That's true. He's not carrying a bludgeoning, you know, hammer, but it's different. It's definitely different. And I can dig it. I'm definitely all for something different. I would love to see it grow if he can get maybe get another character in there. As long as I hope it's not, you know, Harper. I mean, it would totally fit, but I'd like to see something different from Harper when he comes back because he's so talented. But I'm fine with that, and I like the idea of him, you know, being Captain Planet and talking about and not yeah not trying to get the people of Washington, you know, against him because that's his hometown, and I can dig that being a thing. It's just you know, it's definitely something different, and it's not going to go away. Hopefully, it's not going to go away soon because you know, obviously, with that new title belt, you're not going to have him lose that title in 2 weeks after, you know, right after he you know displays it. He's not going to lose it at the Elimination Chamber, but you know, based on his character, did he really need a sidekick or a guy that is his protector, basically, you know, the way his character's been, you know, now he's kind of being this, you know, champion who runs away where before he really wasn't that kind of guy who runs away. But, you know, I'm okay with that. And it gives, you know, at the worst for Rowan, it gives him, you know, a lot bigger, you know, audience and, you know, puts him right in the main event picture and gives him an opportunity to do something different because I thought he always seemed to be the weak link in the group when it came to him and Harper. So I'm glad that Rowan's getting a chance to kind of wet his beak in a main event and, you know, give him an opportunity to see what he can actually do, if he can do more. So, you know, that's kind of what I'm hoping for is to see this group grow, at least one extra guy. Like I said, hopefully not Harper. I'd rather see him go off and do something different when he comes back because, you know, it's always been him and Rowan. So I'd like to see something different out of that. You know, I don't know what they're doing with Bray Wyatt at this point. You know, I don't think he's going to fit it. I don't think he's going to come in with Daniel Bryan and be a sidekick after everything he's done. But I like the idea that they're doing a little bit something different. And, you know, I'm glad that he's getting this chance to show what he can do.
Last thoughts on SmackDown Live overall here. I don't know why I called it SmackDown Live.
You just said you weren't going to call it SmackDown Live anymore.
Because what day is it? I said that because I wanted to make the point again that let's not do that anymore.
Good cover.
Next week we're going to get the first McMiz show.
Yes. Who's the guest? Did they say who the guest was going to be? Oh, it's going to be the Usos, right?
Ooh, I like that.
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary!
They got a very good promo this past Tuesday as well, so... Yeah, I'm looking for them to be in the tag team mix at WrestleMania as well. Just another spoiler alert for y'all. All right, TP, last topic before last call, and I think it's time for another edition of...
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
DP, my opinion, man, is yes, that The Undertaker will be the headliner for the Hall of Fame class of 2019 at this year's WrestleMania. What is your opinion, man?
I don't think he's... I think he's going to wrestle, brother.
So your answer would be...
No! Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
A rare disagreeance in the podcast DWI. But that's been another edition of Your Opinion, Man. DPP, we got one thing left to do. It's last call.
A last call. Alcohol.
What do you mean it's last call?
What do you mean? What do I mean? Well, it's been a while since we talked All Elite Wrestling, DP, and at WrestleVotes was very prominent in saying that All Elite Wrestling had offered a contract to a big WWE current superstar. A lot of people speculated CM Punk and said that it wasn't a current superstar, but then we found out that it could have been Randy Orton and then maybe that his agent put that out. Let's not worry about all the speculation, whether or not contracts have been offered, whether or not feelers have been put out. Let's talk about, firstly, because I got two parts here. First, let's talk about what do you think it would be like for Randy Orton to actually end up in All Elite Wrestling?
Does it, at this point, does it seem like he just wouldn't fit in All Elite Wrestling?
Oh, goodness, no. I think it'd be amazing. He could be their first, he could be their first champion. Put everybody over for fucking... He's still got like 4 or 5 years left.
No, I'm not saying...
If he
I
finished
just,
his
I
career
know.
There, he's friends with Cody.
Yeah?
His dad could come in there.
Oh, boy. Could. I, you know... It's just... I don't know. After all this time, it just seems odd to picture him in another, you know, company... just the way the other, you know, I picture All Elite Wrestling as like a ring of, almost like Ring of Honor, you know, in a way that the way their characters are. And to me, just that the Randy Orton character just doesn't, I don't know, him, the way he is and the way his wrestling style is, just seems so odd to not be in WWE because that's where we've always seen him. And that's his wrestling style just fits WWE's style so well. You just, it's hard to see him somewhere else.
But isn't that what All Elite wants? Is to raise their profile instantaneously? And if it's not Randy Orton, it's got to be someone else like that. There's got to be at least one guy that's like, I'm instantly bringing you that much more credibility. You know, I'm giving you, if you need 10 blocks to get full credibility to be where WWE is, I'm going to give you the first two and a half. You know what I'm saying? And Randy Orton does that for you. He'll give you 20 to 25% right there because he's going to raise the expectations and the level of all the people that he goes up against if you do it the right way. You know what I'm saying? Even if he doesn't hold that belt right away, he's going to give that belt credibility because he is one of the best ever.
I 100% agree. It's, you know, he definitely can bring that level of, you know, whatever, you know, Hall of Fame level, the guy's fantastic. And it's, yeah, he's definitely one of those guys that can easily put over different guys and help get them on the map.
Few more credible than Randy Orton. Few.
Very few at the right now that are active wrestlers right now.
If any, maybe yeah. It's as credible as you can be in the professional wrestling world as Randy Orton, right? Brock Lesnar, John Cena, The Rock, well, let's go over to New Japan. Okada, Tanahashi, Kenny Omega, hopefully maybe an All Elite, right? I mean, guys that are doing it right now, and AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan, right? These are elite. These are the best of the best right now. And when they did wrestle, things like that is what I'm saying. Maybe there's a big difference in all-time status, but at the current time, you're the best of the best. Randy's been the best of the best for a very, very long time, whether you like it or not. Does he take some nights off? So did Randy Moss.
It's true. It's been at least 15 years that he's been, almost 20 years, right? Now,
top I think 10, he started. Top 10 wrestler in the world.
I'm definitely
with a nice 5 to 6 year stretch of instantaneously the best.
Yeah, he's a guy you can easily insert at any point into the world title picture and have no problems with it. And still at that level, still at that high level. And yeah, I wouldn't put anybody else at this point above him. The same level, yeah, but above him?
No.
I mean,
if you're ranking guys, you might, but as far as talking about what level you're on.
No, as far as a guy that can instantly give you that credibility and that top level tier, talent, no. There's only a few guys you're going to take out of there and do that right now. Just for me, it's hard to see him somewhere else. I'm not saying he wouldn't give him that credibility or anything. It's hard to see him in a different place because he's been WWE all his career. He'd certainly give him that factor. He certainly could be that different character who could really, like you said, put these kind of guys over. Some of the guys that are starting, obviously, like guys like Cody and the Young Bucks and stuff, don't need to be put over necessarily, but you still want that guy that's, been at this top WWE level for all this time. That'd be a huge get to get your, new company started for sure.
It's not about giving the guy, putting the guys over. It's about putting the company over. You know what I'm saying? Instant credibility to put you, with a good 2-3 months of programming at WWE's level. Now, here's the other question, speaking of that, is without nearly the same, production value has to be something that All Elite Wrestling has to provide, okay? Whether it's something along the lines of WWE at the same or near the same level, or if it's something completely different that provides you the same experience. Ring of Honor, even Impact in its time, New Japan to me, etc. No one else brings you the show and makes it look better than the WWE does. So I hope that they're going to, at the very least, provide that in a different way or along the same lines, get as close as they can. Kind of like WCW was.
That's kind of what I was going to relate it to, is say either WCW, they have to be one step above Ring of Honor when it comes to their production. At least one step
at
above.
At least.
Elite? At least?
Yep. Ooh, at least. Ooh, ooh. At least. At least. There you go.
Yeah. If they want to be at that level, that's going to be the killer is production. They have to be able to do that and do that well. And they easily have to beat out Ring of Honor right off the bat. Otherwise, I don't think it's going to work.
Oh, and I think they will do that. It's just how close can they come? Will they provide something different? It has to look Major League and not Major League Wrestling. Sorry, MLW. You're entertaining.
Nah.
DP, that's going to do it this week on the show. What else have we missed? Is there final thoughts you got? What's going on? Things happen. Life moves on. We're moving forward. It's the wrestling world. It's a soap opera. We enjoy it. What do you got for enjoy the people it, huh? as we? What do you got for the people as we go home this week?
This is my thoughts for this week are: how come all the women tag teams on Raw have to fight their ass off to get into the chamber, and SmackDown women's tag teams can just go, "I'm gonna be in."
And well, one's 3 hours long, and the other is 2 hours long. I don't know.
Okay.
They don't have time to beat each other up on SmackDown. Yes, I don't know. I'm really looking forward to the Elimination Chamber, though. I'm looking forward to talking about it next week. The card is shaping up to me fairly nicely. It's It's going to be a busy weekend for us, which I can't wait for. It's almost rivaling. It's going to be better than Royal Rumble week because it's not going to be as long.
It's not going to be 6 hours and then plus 4 hours NXT. Yeah, all right. Yeah, I'm down for that. Yeah. We're going to be a nice hour and a half of Bruce City Wrestling, have some drinks, hang out with the boys.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get the chamber the next day. I'm down.
Shout out to Double S for winning Super Bowl 2019 Jeopardy edition.
Yeah, that was well done. That was a heated battle going into Final Jeopardy too.
That was a fun one. I hope you guys enjoyed.
That was really good. Yeah. PC Tunney did a phenomenal job coming up with Jeopardy, Double Jeopardy, and Final Jeopardy. That was double Jeopardy.
We had four categories with five questions in each category in Jeopardy round and the Double Jeopardy round, in addition to a Final Jeopardy. So it was a good time. It was a good time. Everybody was on the honor system. We had sticky pads or whatever you call it.
Yeah, the post-it notes. PC Bruns post-it notes to write down the picks
and
your answers.
Post your answer, yeah. So
and then yeah,
we enjoyed it. We enjoyed it. All right, DP. Like we said, you can actually go back and find me on the Twitter at PC Tunney to check out the Thunderdome and a little bit of the post Super Bowl experience that we were having that evening. You can also follow the show at Podcast DWI. You can also find us at Greatest Team Never with an 8DP. Where can they find you across social medias and across brands that you represent?
Brands all over the worldwide interwebs at It's Me DPP, and check out Facebook as well for the show at facebook.com/DWI podcast.
And I sent different programs. I meant, what about Bruce City Wrestling coming up next week? Maybe check out the Instagram.
But Instagram, it'll probably be on Twitter as well. But we try and get the Instagram going for the Bruce City Wrestling events. I'll snap some pictures of all the matches that are going on. That's at It's Me DPP as well.
All right, folks, enjoy your weekend. Make sure you check us out next week as we let you know what's happening with Elimination Chamber. And make sure you check out Hot is War next week as well, and every week. But Max Holiday will be across a couple of shows next week right here on thechairshot.com. Make sure you go to thechairshot.com. For the latest, greatest, and up-to-datest on everything wrestling news, coverage, opinions, and podcast. And go to the t-shirt store at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. There are some very interesting t-shirts there.
There is. There's some brewery-style t-shirts.
Oh, yes.
What'd you call them?
For all you Milwaukee fans, I think there's one in particular I may be sporting very soon. So make sure you go check that out. But until next time, for DPP, I am PC Tunney, and you've been listening to another edition of the podcast known as I'm looking forward to Max Holiday against the Beer City Bruiser next week, Saturday. Ooh,
that's one hell of a main event.
Woo! the street when out the corner of my eye I saw a pretty little thing approaching me. She said, I never seen a man who looks so all alone, or could you use a little company? But if you pay the right price, your evening will be nice and you can go and send me on my way. I said, you're such a sweet young thing, why you do this to yourself? She looked at me and this is what she said.
It's me, Austin! It's me, Austin! It was me all along, Austin!
It's me, Becky! It was me, Becky! It was me, Becky Lynch, all along.